Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Internet Ministry, giving honor and the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that is, the one that was, and the one that will ever be, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of my faith. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon, coming to you from the glories of heaven. Amen. Because let me tell you, a lot of people say, I want to go to heaven. Man, did you know heaven came down to me? Woo! When Jesus Christ came down from heaven 2,000 years ago and died on Calvary's cross to give me eternal life, that was heaven to me. Amen. I'm not worried about going to heaven because it's already been taken care of. At the cross, Jesus Christ died, suffered, dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost, went on down to the bowels of the earth, set the captive free. Amen. 3 days later, he was up. Amen. When he got up, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will absolutely come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, you'll be there also. That's Jesus Christ talking there, buddy. Amen. I'm not saying that. That's Christ said. He said he is coming back to get a church without a spot or without a wrinkle. But you better be saved. You need to get saved. You need to be sanctified. You need to be redeemed by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Not by just you just going to church. Not just by you just dressing nice. That's not redemption. Redemption only come by repentance. You got to repent and turn from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Turn from what the world has to offer you. Turn from satanic powers and influence that the world, amen, is offering you, because the world can't offer you nothing that's going to last forever. It only lasts temporarily. Man, let me tell you, I'd rather suffer for Jesus. I'd rather go through hell and high water for Jesus than to die and go to hell over what Satan has to offer you. And really, he ain't got nothing to offer you. Nothing. Not absolutely nothing. And the world seems like they're in love with the devil. They're in love with sin and destruction. They're in love with sex. And they're in love with drinking and money and fame and glory and dancing and partying and drinking and telling jokes and going around, amen, thinking that life is only this life. But there's life after death. Lord, have mercy. There's life after death. Amen. And if you die without Jesus Christ in your life, if you die without Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and turning from your wicked ways so you can be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, please don't die without Jesus. Amen. I can say going to church is good. I can't say going to church. You know, I've been saying that so long. You know, the church is you. When you get up in the Sunday morning and you put your clothes on, you're not going to church. You're going to worship the Lord. You're going to pay homage to the Lord. You're going there to learn about Jesus Christ. You're going there to have fellowship with the saints and the glorious redemption plan that Jesus Christ brought down here 2,000 years ago. He came all the way down from glory. He come through what? He come through every empire that was ever up on faces earth. He come through the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire. He came on down through the Babylonian Empire. He came on down to the Grecian and the Persian Empire. He came on down to the Greece Empire. He came on down through the Roman Empire. And when the Roman Empire got here, they tell me Jesus Christ was found laying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. A lot of people say it's Christmas, but let me tell you, it's more than Christmas. It's a way to escape the wrath of God. The only way you can escape the wrath of God is through Jesus Christ. Woo, my God, I wish I could tell you more about it. I can't tell it all. Only thing I'm doing is scratching the surface, but the only thing I want to tell you is it saved Jesus and he crucified, because what Christ did for the world, what he did, he died in your place. He died in your place. It was impossible, impossible for you to die for your own sins, because man is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Your mother conceived you. It was impossible for any man on this planet to die for himself, go into hell, come up on the third day morning with powers of his own power, because if you ain't got the power of God in your life, you ain't got no power. It would be impossible for you to do that. But John 3:16 tells you the whole gospel in a nutshell. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My friends, I want to tell you tonight, we're living in the last days. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this earth. He's coming back in a thief in the night. He's coming back when the world ain't going to be looking for him. And the world today is not looking for the return of Christ. They think all this year that's going on in the world is going to continue on and continue on, but it's going to stop one day. Because God, let me tell you something, God is tired. He is tired. And I don't mean physically tired. I'm talking about spiritually tired, because he done dealt with man for almost 6,000 years. You get an understanding. 6,000 years God has dealt with mankind to redeem him back to God. And the world still haven't come to him. The world is still rejecting the love of God, still rejecting his mercy, still rejecting his redemption plan, still rejecting his kindness and his long suffering that he has for mankind. And the love that God has for his mankind is far beyond my mind can even comprehend. And the only way that I can try to comprehend it, amen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the comprehension of God's love for your soul. Your soul, your soul, your soul. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? In other words, what profit a man to gain the whole world and die and go to hell and burn and burn and burn forever? Not because of what he done, not because of what he said, not because of what his attitude is, but because he rejected the love of God. He rejected Christ, the only way man could come back to God. Man can't come back to God no other way. Why? Because let me tell you something. Let me look at this real good, because a lot of people don't get to understanding what's going on in the world. But let me tell you something. Let's go back here in Acts. Go back to Acts 4:12. Let's see what we can come up on. Amen. Acts 4:12 says this. Listen now. Listen real good. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. I'll read that again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, you hear, look at that word must be saved, S-A-B-E-D, 100% saved by what? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ or what he did on the atonement, on the cross, and you deny it, you reject it, you play the hypocrite with it, you go it with your mouth, but your heart is far from it, guess what? If you leave this planet without being baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ in the Spirit, and when the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ comes in you, and when it comes in here, it does what? It changes you. Oh, my God. Listen to what I'm saying. It changes you. It changes your heart. It changes your spirit. It changes your attitude about who Jesus Christ is. He is all that you can ever receive to receive salvation. And if you don't receive the salvation that Christ died for you and rose again for you, guess what? If you reject that atonement, you will literally die one day. And you're going to die one day. Whether you die young, whether you die old, or whether you die, wherever you die, whenever you die. Please don't believe false prophets and don't believe false Christs which have arrived in this present day. We got so many quack preachers. We got so many jackleg preachers that ain't preaching what? Salvation through Jesus Christ. They're preaching motivation speeches. They're preaching money. They're preaching fame and glory. They're preaching their own little bent doctrine, which they have got some scriptures from the Bible and twisted in their own destruction. Because if you don't come out from the Word of God straight out, just like it's written, come on now. The Bible said don't add nothing to the Word of God and don't take nothing out. We're living in Revelation time. We're just living just before. Listen to what I'm saying. We're living just before the rapture occurred. The rapture is not far off. The rapture is so close that it's closer than the blood running in your veins. It's closer than the skin on your body. Closer than you can get closer to your wife or your husband. It's closer than your children. Why? Because now we're living in an awful, terrible time. Killings and murderers and people ramming in the streets and people shooting down people in cold blood. Men are selling sex amongst 9 and 10 and 11, 12-year-old girls and 12-year-old boys, and they're sex trafficking and drug trafficking and alcohol trafficking and wife-swapping trafficking, and church folks living crazy. They live in simplicity. They're compromising with the world. You cannot serve the world and serve God at the same time. Either two things that's mentioned in the Bible in the church of Laodicea. The Bible says that Jesus Christ would rather you be hot or be cold. In other words, if you're going to stay out there in the world, stay on out there in the world, but don't come up in the church claiming that you know Jesus Christ and living like the world, dancing like the world, lying like the world, doing all things that the world folks do and claim Christ. You not claim Christ and living like the devil. Come on now. You know that's the truth. Too many hypocrites, too many lying folks having a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They ain't got no power to love. They ain't got no power to forgive. They ain't got no power to keep a constant, amen, consistent lifestyle. I mean a sanctified life. I don't mean one of them old crazy sanctified life, because a lot of people got sanctification wrong. Did you hear what I said? Sanctify the flesh. You cannot sanctify the flesh. And you ain't gonna, it ain't gonna happen. Because you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't tell lies. Well, you don't told a lie, because let me tell you, the Bible says who is a liar? A liar is someone that denies the incarnation of Jesus Christ. A liar is a person that denies that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That's a liar. You trying to make God a liar, because God did come down here in the flesh like a man, walk like a man, look like a man, talk like a man. He was a man. He was God man, and he gave himself. God gave himself up through the Son, Jesus Christ, his Son, himself in the flesh, and what? Died. He was crucified, hung up on a cruel cross. Nailed in his hands. And there's a great controversy on where did Jesus Christ receive the nails in his hands. And I've been making a study on that, a close study on that, on the body weight that Jesus Christ weighed. He was 6 foot. Oh, I'd say 6'2". He was tall. The Bible said he grew in stature. He was a tall. He was a, I can say this, he was handsome. He was a handsome. And tell me, he had muscles just like a man. He wasn't no wimp.
Jesus Christ was not no wimp. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Come on. Come on, Satan. Back up. You know who Jesus Christ is. He knew who. If you don't believe me, the demons knew who Jesus Christ was. If you don't believe me, ask the man that was at the graveyard that was full of demons and devils and demigods. And when these demons saw Jesus Christ, he said, "Oh, Son of God, why do you come and torment us before our time? Why do you come and pester us before our time?" He said, "Please don't bind us up in the bottomless pit yet. Give us permission to go into the swines." And Jesus said, "Come on after the man." And according to scriptures, a legion of angels is 6,000 demons. A half of a legion is 3,000 demons. And this man was at the graveyard full of devils, full of them. Had so many of them that nobody could control him. He was a ruthless man. He was a madman. I don't know if he was foaming at the mouth, but they tell me nobody could hold him down. No chain could hold him. He was a superhuman being full of demons and devils. Let me tell you something now. Let me tell you something real good. People today got a lot of demons in them. A lot of people say, "What's wrong with the world today?" You know why? People have rejected the love and the mercy of God. They have turned their back on God. They have propagated everything but the word of God, and that's why people are so crazy. They've lost their mind. They're insane. Church folks. I'm talking about church folks who call themselves a Christian and don't know nothing about the power of God. Don't know nothing about who Jesus is. Don't know nothing about how he died. Oh, boy, did he die. Let's get back to the hanging. Where did they nail? When they nailed Jesus to the cross to a piece of timber, where did they nail him at? They didn't in the middle of his hand, or did they nail him just below the hand? According to the weight to hang on the cross, dead weight to hang on the cross would take a strong place to nail somebody to the cross. Most study theology on where did they nail Christ, in his wrist or in his hand. The most logical place and the most strongest place that he could hang, good God Almighty, he hung. He hung. Did they hang that man? They hung God Almighty on the cross in the flesh. They hung him. And when they nailed him, most logical place, the most significant place, they nail him between the two bones just below the bottom of the hand. There's two bones that they nail him because that's the strongest place on the human body that you could hang a man, and he could be hung on the cross without ripping the middle of his hand apart. And that was just below the hand. It's called the wrist. And they took a sharp, rusty nail, good God Almighty, and they nailed him. They pierced right between the bone of the tendons of that wrist. And they did it in both hands, just below the hand, which is called the wrist. And in that wrist is the strongest spot that a man could hang without ripping his hand in parts of the cross. He did it. He did it. He did it. He did it. For who? For you. For your low-down, dirty, rotten self. Come on now. Come on now. And I'm not excluding myself. Used to be a little foul-minded person. But Jesus Christ died for my foul mouth, my foul hand, my foul thinking and my lust. And he died for that, and he was nailed. He was nailed, and them nails went through the wood. It went down until they nailed both of his hands, and they nailed his feet right between the first, the second, and third toe. They nailed a nail straight through the top of his right foot to the bottom of his left foot. And it was so uncomfortable on the cross that Jesus had to, what? He had to inhale and exhale at certain times to stay alive because it was such a weight. And they hung him. They hung him for the sin of man, the sins of mankind, every lowdown, dirty, rotten, backyard sins. He hung. Not only did they nail him, but they whipped him. 39 leashes on the back of his back and opened up his what? Opened up his back like a piece of hamburger. And it was bleeding as they whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head until the Palestine cactus thorns pierced his skull between the flesh and his skull. I don't know, but they said he had 72 thorns. I don't know if it's true or not, but 72 thorns pierced his head. And every thorn shot pain from his head all the way down to his feet. The nails, nerves shot all over his body, so agonizing, so painful, beyond any man that could take that. And God had to turn his back on him. And that's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Humanity, Christ, and divinity said, why hast you forsaken me? And God turned his back on himself in order because he could not look up on sin. It was the darkest hour of Jesus' life. The darkest hour, because sin is black. Sin is dirty. Sin is low down. Sin is carnal. Sin is destructive. And the world has been eaten up by sin because the devil says, I'm going to ruin God's creation. I'm going to try to damn every soul that ever was born. You hear what I said? I ain't talking about race, creed, or color, because there's not a word in God's word that said there's going to be a black heaven. There ain't going to be no white heaven. It ain't going to be no Chinese heaven. It's not going to be just a Jewish heaven. It's going to be a heaven for every nationality and people and tongues and language, for all those that receive the atonement that Jesus Christ made. He made it on top of Mount Calvary, the hill of death. He met death face to face, and that was the only man. That was the only man that could take the whole weight of sin from all the way from Adam and Eve all the way until the end of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for it all. And it took what? It took 6 long hours. They hung him from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For who? For you. He died. And when he died, he did what? He paid the price of sin with his what? Own blood. The blood of God Almighty. That was his blood. God had to become human. He had to have a blood system. He had to be a man. He had to have the anatomy of a man. He had to shed his blood because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without Jesus Christ dying for your sins, there is no way that a man can be saved. You just can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can tell. You can tell every bootleg preacher. You can tell every jackleg preacher. You can tell every a meditating preacher. You can tell every preacher that ever preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. If he's not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and it was God Almighty that gave his son to the world, and Jesus Christ is God Almighty, period. And the devil says, I cannot let nobody get to the cross. I got to lead the world astray. I got to lead the world to other religions and other deities and other ways to get to God. If I can do that, I can damn the world forever. I can damn every soul that rejects Jesus. Devil knows that. He knows that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he knows he has lost that soul forever, because the devil cannot reclaim what God has saved and what God has redeemed by his blood. Because let me tell you something. The devil cannot touch the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The blood cannot touch the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only thing the blood can do is to blot out sin and to cleanse you and to make you holy and to sanctify you and to justify you. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the only power source that God has to save man from the destruction of hell. You cannot be saved by all other name. I read it in 4:12, Acts 4:12. There is no other name, no other deity, no other God that did what Jesus Christ did. And the world is saying now, we don't need Jesus Christ. We don't want Jesus Christ. How do we know Jesus Christ come from the dead? The Bible's this and the Bible's that, and the Bible ain't all this. Well, let me tell you that the Bible's a written word of the holy word of God, and it will last forever, because the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God abideth forever. And whoever dwelleth in the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, shall never perish. And buddy, that is real. That is reality. That is a fact. And if I can say that's a fact, Jack, it was Jesus Christ that made the atonement for the sins of the whole world. And the Bible says in the last day there shall come a falling away first, and the man of sin and the son of perdition shall be revealed. And guess what? The man of sin and the son of perdition is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is alive today on the planet. He's on the planet, my friends. He's alive today. And God is going to let Satan rule this world for 7 years. 7 years of hell on earth is coming. It's coming, my friend. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody tell you this ain't going to happen. It's happening already on a lower scale. Wars and wars and rumors of war, pestilence and diseases is on the upgrade. Everything is going haywire. Listen to what the word of God says that will happen in the last day. Nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And we're seeing it right now. Nations are rising against nation. Nations are getting ready for war. War is coming. My friends, war is coming. World War III is on the verge of it right now. World War III will be started by what? USSR or Russia or Gog and Magog. There's a Gog and Magog war coming within the next 5 months. World War III is going to come in the Middle East. Yes, it is. It's coming. It's coming like a bolt of lightning. It's coming like a storm in the night. It's going to catch the world off guard, because God said, Gog and Magog, I'm going to put hooks in your jaw and I'm going to draw you back. I'm going to draw 83% of your army back, because I know what you're getting ready to do. You're trying to make an attack upon Israel. Oh, my God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of an angry God who messed with the Jewish people. You mess with the Jewish people, you just want to go down by the Millbrook and hang yourself. Because God is not going to let nobody touch his apple of his eye. Nobody's going to touch Israel and try to annihilate Israel. Because many men in the past have tried to get rid of the Jewish people, and they can't do it because they are indestructible. This is the people and the only people on the planet that knows and have an experience with the true and living God. They brought them up from the land of Egypt, brought them all up to the land of Canaan, brought them down into the land flowing with milk and honey, and Israel was all right as long as they stayed in obedience with the word of God. But when they fell away and began to sin and go after heathen gods, and follow heathen gods, God said, you got to pay. You got to pay. I told you not to follow after that crap, after these deities, after these false gods, after all these old religions that the world is accepting. There's over 4,200 different kinds of religions in the world today, and the world has gone crazy over it. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Let me see what I can name some of these religions that's in the world today, amen, that people are going a-whoring after. They're going a-whoring after all these different kinds of so-called religions that call themselves worshiping God. But the only way, listen what I'm saying now, listen, the only way that you can worship God Almighty, you got to come through his son. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no boy or girl, no old man, no middle class man, no black man, no white man, no Chinese man can get to God but come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no man, no man can get to the Father except he come by me, not me. Not Brother Bazaar, but I'm talking about the me that Jesus Christ used. He said, you can't get to my Father unless you come by me. If you go another way, if you go another idol, if you go another detour, you're worse than a thief and a robber. And we got a lot of people that ain't nobody trying to thief and a robber to take away the cross to try to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ and the cross. You don't go by the cross, you ain't going. If you don't come by the blood of Jesus Christ, you ain't going. Come on, if you don't repent and turn from your wicked ways and turn to Christ and let the blood of Jesus Christ come into your life by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to heaven. You just want to get it right. Get it right. Don't let no preacher, don't let no deacon, don't let no ideology, a zoologist, a biologist tell you there's another way to heaven. Don't let Oprah Winfrey tell you. Don't let T.D. Jakes tell you. Why? Because, man, let me tell you something. If they ain't preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as written in the Bible and quit preaching all these motivation speeches, guess what? You're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to bust hell wide open. Why? Because the cross is the only way. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know about that. I know about the blood of Jesus Christ. I live by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It sanctified my soul. Now I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm not partaking in no kind of man-made organization, no kind of rituals, or no kind of seances. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at the religions we got. We got 4,200 different kinds of religion worldwide. Lord, have mercy. Listen, here's one. Y'all know this, Jehovah Witness. Good God Almighty. What's the Jehovah Witness? The Jehovah Witness is a cult religion. Y'all hear me out there? Listen loud and clear. Jehovah Witness is an occult. You know why it's an occult? Because they teach. This is what Jehovah teaches. They teach that Jesus Christ is a created being, that God created Jesus Christ. That's a lie. That's antichrist. That's denying the deity of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is not second in the Trinity. He's not second in the Godhead. Jesus Christ is first. Revelation says, I am the first and I am the last. Jesus Christ says that. So Jesus Christ is not a created being. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I can't dwell on it enough. God became man again. One time he became man. He had a blood system. He had a liver. He had a heart. He had intestines. He had everything that a human being man has. He got thirsty. He got angry. He got sleepy. He got hungry. He had all the attributes as a human being. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was led to the slaughter like a dumb lamb and opened not his mouth. Woo! Good God Almighty. Listen what he did. He tell me, and by his stripes we were healed, by his whipping and by his suffering and by his blood, his bleeding and his shedded blood, we can be healed, not only just physically, but we be healed spiritually. We can come out of darkness and walk in the marvelous light. We can come out of hate and start loving one another, because the Bible says God is love, nothing but love. Love in the morning, love at night, love throughout eternity. And the Bible says if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. We're living in the last days. Religion. We got humanism. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. We got the occults deny the blood of Jesus Christ. They deny that God come in the flesh. We got evolution that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. We got witchcraft deny the blood of Christ. We got atheism deny God, that there's no God. The Bible says that in the 53rd chapter of the book of Psalms and the 14th chapter of the book of Psalms, it said the fool, good God Almighty, the fool that said in his heart there is no God. And the world is full of atheism. There's no God. There ain't no such thing as Elohim. There's no such thing as Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as the Almighty Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. They said there ain't no such thing as that. Well, you can say it all you want. That ain't going to change nothing, because there's a day coming. Yes, it is. There's a day coming. Every man must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every man going to stand before the great white throne. Every human being that is ill going to stand before God Almighty. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody make a monkey out of you. Don't let no preacher make a monkey out of you. And if I was one of those monkey preachers, I ain't got no business on this internet right now. I need it. If I ain't preaching the truth, you know where I need to go? I need to get a shovel and dig a hole and jump in it and direct myself to hell, because that's where I'm going if I'm not preaching Jesus Christ, if I'm not living the life of Jesus Christ, if I haven't been born again, because when you're born again forever in Jesus Christ, because he died once. Ooh, he suffered once. Ooh, and he was in the grave one time, and he got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth, so that the old wine oak can come on out there and quit drinking that old grit stuff that turn your insides out, and come on, drink a new bottle. A new bottle of what? Of living water. Because God will give you some living water through his blood, and you can bring up into everlasting life. Witchcraft, they deny. They deny it. Buddhism, they deny it. Taoism, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Islam said, we got an Allah. Well, I'd like to know, where is Allah at? I ain't seen him. They said he went up in heaven in the mosque in Jerusalem. They say he went up in heaven, but he didn't leave no evidence. He never died. He never was hung on the cross. Huh? He never suffered. If he suffered, he suffered through his own mistakes and his own foolishness. Come on. He never quoted anything in the Word of God. He never quoted nothing. I ain't seen him. You ain't seen him. They said he rode on a horse on up in heaven. But that's a lie. That's a cult. There's only one man came down out of heaven, and there's only one man that went back to heaven. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus, the Son of the living God. The God that loved you so much and gave his life. Yes, it's good to go to church. It's good to go to church for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years if you're being, but going to church ain't going to save you. There's a lot of people going to church forever. Seems like they just go forever and ever and never receive Christ in their life. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power from such turn away. They ain't never, never had a divine relationship with Jesus Christ. They haven't repented of their sins. Because when you repent, when you come down to genuine repentance and turn from your wicked ways and you ask Christ to come into your life, guess what? Jesus Christ is going to come into your life. And when he comes into your life, there's going to be a change in your life. And the change is from hate to love. I know. You can't tell me nothing about that. I know, because let me tell you, when Christ came into my life, the love of God, amen, didn't make me love everybody. I just wanted to love everybody. Why? Because God loved me first. God gave his son for me that I could love him and that he could love me and that I could show my love to the world, to every human being that I ever meet. I just love him. I love him. I love him. I love him because God's love is in me. And when you have the love of God in your life, come on, look at what I'm trying to tell you. When you got the love of God in your life, the power of God through the Holy Ghost, you love everybody. You just love. Because number one, when you get to heaven, there's one thing that you got to have before you get to heaven. You're going to have to be redeemed. And when you get redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you receive the love of God. There's one thing that will last forever. Hate is not going to last in heaven. Hate is not going to last forever. And if hate, when hate, the only way hate going to last forever is in hell, will be in hell. Hate will not be in heaven. Liking folks ain't going to dwell in heaven. You got to love everybody. You got to love the unlovely. You got to love those that persecute and lie on you. You got to love those that throw stones at you. You got to love those that talk about you. You got to love them. Why? Because Jesus Christ loves your ugly self. And sin makes you ugly. Sin gives you all kind of frowns on your face. Sin is hate. And the world is full of hate. And one of the most prophetic prophecy that was made, Jesus Christ said, the love of many. You hear what I said? The love of many shall wax cold. Cold-hearted world. Because it's full of demons and devils, and the devil is ruling men's lives because men is rejecting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you reject God's love, guess what? You don't have no love to be loved by. You don't have no love to love other people. And love belongs in hell, H-E-L with a whole lot of L left it. And I'm saying this in love. You don't want to go to hell, brothers or sisters. I don't care how long you've been going to church. You could be the secretary. You could be the doorkeeper. You could be the janitor. You could be all those church offices that you are in. You could sing in the choir. You can be all these things that's similar of a Christian life. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and been sanctified by the Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, you will die and bust hell wide open. The Bible says, if you have not, you can read it in there, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to God. Uh-oh. This is what it says. If you do not have the Spirit of the living God in your life, you are none of his. You have not been born again. You are a lost soul. You're walking around in a lost condition. We got some more religions here. I'm gonna show you some more. We got Islam. That's the black Muslim. They say white Muslim, whatever. You got about 1.8 billion Muslims that believe in Allah. They say Jesus Christ was just a mere man. That's a lie. He wasn't just a mere man. He was God in man. I don't told you once. I'll tell you twice, and I'll tell you three times. You deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you're going to bust hell wide open. You got circleism. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. You got Judaism. This is the closest religion that comes to the types and shadow that points to Christ. Judaism, animal sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament. It was not to save mankind. Listen to what I'm saying. It was not capable enough to save mankind. It was only a covering for sin until Jesus Christ comes. I'll say that again. The animals in Judaism sacrifices of goats, lambs, bullocks, turtle doves, and clean animals was a covering for sins of mankind until Christ came. From the time that they was in the Mount Sinai, God gave them the law, 613 laws God gave Israel, and gave them the blessings and gave them the curses. If you disobey my laws and my ordinance and my rituals, I will not receive you. But you are my people now. God told Israel, you are my people, then you're not my people. In other words, you're my people of your holiness. You live like I want you to live. You can be my people. I'll be your God. But if you rebel against me and you break my laws and you turn your nose up at me and you go to idolatry and you go to all kind of witchcraft and voodoo and hoodoo, guess what? You're not my people, because my people do not live like that. My people live in love and holiness and striving to please God, and my people love me. I'm telling you what God said. My people love me. And they love me with all their mind, all their soul, all their strength, and love thy neighbor as you love yourself, then you're my people. But if you don't go by that, if you don't live by that, if you don't exemplate that, if you don't express that, and you don't have the Holy Spirit in you to help you do that, guess what? You don't belong to me. So Judaism is the closest thing that God came to show Israel and the nations of the world there has to be a blood sacrifice capable enough to save man from sin. And in Judaism, the animal sacrifice could not save man from sin because an animal has not the qualities of a human being. They don't have the qualities of a human being. Number one, the blood of lamb was not a, it was a sacrifice, but it wasn't perfected. Perfection didn't come until Jesus Christ, because he was God in man. Oh, yeah. God in man. And when Christ came, he came with a precious blood, a spotless blood, a holy blood, a blood without a spot, without a wrinkle, sanctify the soul of man. And lambs could not do that. So until Jesus Christ came, when Jesus Christ came, Judaism was discontinued. The Jews now is not supposed to be sacrificing animals anymore. They ain't supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be going to the cross. And the Jews have not yet come to the cross. Jesus Christ said, I come to my own, and my own receive me not. But as many receive me, and I give them power to come the sons of God. Talking to the Jewish people. I give them power to become the sons of God. And Israel as a nation did not come to Jesus Christ as a nation. They rejected Jesus Christ. And then living in 2022, the Jews want to go back to the old sacrificial offering. And God, oh, yes, he is. God is going to fix it, that they are going to try to bring Judaism back into existence. And they're trying to do it right now. And in the Bible, it says, in the last days, the Jews shall come back into the land. And when they come back into the land, they're going to try to renew and restore Judaism. But Judaism is no longer in power. Because when Jesus Christ died, that was a final sacrifice. Because Jesus Christ was God Almighty. And since God Almighty made man in his own image and after his own likeness. He says, since I made him after my likeness and after my image, I'm going to redeem him after my own image. I'm going to become like man. And by me coming like man, I was born without sin. I was born perfect. I was born righteous. I was born to do one thing. And that one thing was somebody. Hey, somebody had to die. Yeah, somebody had to go to Calvary. And the Bible tells me the men and all the men of the Old Testament time came to the focal point of the book of Revelation, and you will find somebody had to open the book and break the seven seals. And they tell me the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims had to search all over the world. They try to find somebody other than one that God had. And God has something that no man could publish, no man could bring forth but God himself. And they tell me, they begin to name some men. They said, how about Abraham? No, Abraham sinned. How about Job? No, Job sinned. How about Noah? No, Noah couldn't do it because Noah sinned. How about David? No, David sinned. How about Isaiah? Isaiah sinned. How about Ezekiel? Ezekiel sinned. How about Daniel? Daniel sinned. How about the Hebrew boys? Good God Almighty. No, nobody. How about Ruth? No, Ruth sinned. How about the apostles? They sinned. Good God Almighty. Nobody from the time of Adam and Eve were capable enough of dying for the world. And they tell me they begin to weep and cry. And the book of Revelation, somebody got to open the book and break the seven seals. And they search inside the earth. They search outside the earth. They search underneath of the earth. They search on the top side of the earth. They search everywhere. And they couldn't find nobody. And since they couldn't find nobody, old brother John said, I got to cry now. Yeah, I got to cry. Yeah, because nobody was capable enough to save man from sin, death, hell, and the grave until one of the elders said, where, John? Hey, John, don't weep no more. Good God Almighty. Let me see who John talking about. Let's look in the book of Revelation. Let's see what John was talking about. Yeah, he said, nobody was able to open the book or break the seven seals until the time came in the fourth chapter of Revelation. It says, who is able to break the seven seals and break it? Listen to what John says in the book of the fifth chapter of Revelation. He said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, saying, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof? And no man, oh Lord have mercy, no man in heaven, nor man in earth, nor neither under the earth was capable enough to open the book, and neither open the seven seals or look thereupon. Good God Almighty. Now that second verse and the third verse says there was no angel that proclaimed who is worthy to open the book. Nobody was worthy to open the book. Somebody said, well, we got some earthly men that was not mentioned in the Lamb Book of Life. Somebody say, how about T.D. Jakes? No, he can't open no book. How about Billy Graham? No, he can't open the book. How about Brother Bazaar? No, he can't open the book. How about all the preachers and all the deacons? How about men of great stature, men who knew they could open the book? Nobody! You hear what I said? Nobody was able to open the book, neither break the seven seals. Now, that ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you something. And let's see what what the Bible says. What did the Bible say? Who was able to open the book? Let's read a little farther. It says, John, in the fourth verse, he said, and I wept. I cried much. I cried. John said, I cried. And I'm crying. I'm crying today, just like John. And what am I crying for? I'm crying for the way the world and the way that the church is treating Jesus Christ. I'm crying because they don't know who is worthy to open the book. There's some church folks in the church that think they worthy to open the book, but there's nobody in the church worthy to open the book or to break the seven seals. Nobody until Revelation gives an identity of who was able to open the book. He said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Stop crying, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'll pause for that. And one of the elders, who are the elders? The 24 elders that's sitting around the judgment seat of Christ. This chapter, in the fifth chapter, shows you exactly where the church is in the fifth chapter. The church is getting ready to be raptured up, my friends. And here the church is at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema seat. The church will witness this. And will witness those that's around the judgment seat of Christ. And they will witness what the elder said. The elder said, behold, the Lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So we as a church, the body of Christ, in the fifth chapter of Revelation, gives us an identity where the church is going to be after a while. After a while, the church is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when we meet the Lord in the air, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to see the 24 elders, and we, the elders, are going to say, we have found a Lion out of the tribe of Judah to break the seven seal. No occult will be there. You hear what I said? Judaism will not be there. Paganism will not be there. Agnosticism will not be there. The Hinduism will not be there. The spiritualism will not be there. The Habaya will not be there. The schism will not be there. Scientology will not be there. The deist will not be there. The voodoo will not be there. The Satanist will not be there. The circleism will not be there. The Mormonism will not be there. No false religion. No crackpot religion. No jackleg religion. No backyard religion will be there at the judgment seat of Christ. The only ones that want to be there is the born-again believer, blood-washed saints that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will see the 24 elders. We will see the elders that say, don't weep, church. Don't cry, church. We have found a Lion that come out of the root of David, the bright and morning star, has prevailed to open the book. Listen what it says now. It's in the Word. Sixth verse says, I beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne. Yeah, this and that did. And of the four beasts. Of the four beasts. And as it had been slain. The Lamb that has been slain. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb of God. Jesus Christ. Having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth to all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. God took it out of his own hand and gave it to the Son. Because God is the Son. God is the Father. God is the Holy Ghost. One God, one baptism, one heaven, one hell. Woo! Yes, indeed. One way to God, through Jesus Christ. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, this is in heaven now. The church is in heaven now. I'll be there. Oh, yes, Brother Bazaar going to be there. Oh, yes, I got to see this man. I got to see this Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, brighter than the morning star. I got to see the man that suffered for me, died for me, gave me a right to the tree of life. I don't have to worry about a black water fountain and a white water fountain because heaven is going to be for everybody. Make no different race, creed, or color, ethnic background, your status quo, rich or poor, blind, crippled, or half crazy. Jesus Christ can still save you from sin, death, and hell, and the grave because the only thing can drive you crazy is the devil himself. And he's driving people today crazy, crazy, doing anything they want to do. I'm talking about church folks. Saying anything they want to. Think they're going to go to heaven on real good works. You ain't got no works good enough because all your works is that filthy, low-down, dirty rags. The only righteousness that you can receive is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Ooh, my God, this is gospel preaching. This is gospel preaching. I ain't got no motivation speeches for y'all. I ain't got no collection for you to take up from me. Woo, I don't need no pat on the back. Only thing I need from you is you pray for me that I can preach this word until Jesus Christ comes because he's coming soon. He said, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down. Before who? The Lamb. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy, Jesus Christ, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain and hast what? Redeemed. You hear what I said? Not what I said, but what the word said. Redeem us to God by what? Uh-oh. Look at that. By the blood out of what? A certain class of people? No. It says, out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation. Salvation is for every human being up on this planet. There ain't no such thing as no black yard salvation for certain folks. Jesus Christ said, whosoever will, let him come on. Come on, blind man. Come on, crazy man. Come on, white man. Come on, yellow man. Come on, Jew. Come on, Gentile. Come on. I ain't got no set rule for the color of your skin or how much money you make. My claim and my petition and my command is that you repent, turn from sin. Fall on your knees at the foot of the cross and call on the name of Jesus that he would save your sin-sick soul. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you got a sin-sick soul. Your soul is sick. Your spirit is sick. You're sick all over. You don't know where you're going when you die. You don't know the way to salvation. You don't hear there's so many ways that you can get saved, but there's only one way you can get saved. At the name of Jesus. Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, they asked him, what must we do? What must we do in order to be saved? You know what Apostle Peter said? He said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said on the day of Pentecost, and he's still saying it. Repent! John the Baptist said, repent! Turn! from your drinking self. Your sex done took charge of you. Your money is controlling you. Your children is controlling you. Turn from your lying self, your hypocritical self, and come on and fall on your sin, bending knees, and call on the name of the Lord before the rapture take place. Because when the rapture takes place, it's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Don't you realize the twinkling of an eye is faster than 186,000 miles a second? Don't you know it's going to be faster than 186,000 miles a second? And if I can move that fast, I could go around the world seven times in 1 second. Don't you know it's going to be so quick and so fast, the world is going to know within 2 weeks exactly what it done happened? Don't you know it's going to be so fast that your clothes will still be standing up after you done left and change your body into what? A immortality. Don't you know it's going to be so fast, people ain't going to know what happened? Don't you know there's going to be tragedy and car wrecks and plane wrecks? There's going to be babies missing. There's going to be people going in confusion when the rapture occur. Don't you know church folks are going to be sitting up in the pews, still sitting there and wondering why they didn't go. They didn't go because they wasn't saved. They lying. They playing their hypocrite. And when that happens, it's going to what? It's going to change the whole world. The whole world will fall into the hands of the Antichrist. The devil will take control of the seven-year tribulation that's getting ready to hit this earth. And it's going to hit it. You better believe it. Brother Bazaar, don't lie about the word. If I lie, let me die. If I'm lying to you tonight, let me die tonight. Go get a shovel and bury me if I'm lying tonight. I'm not lying. I'm telling you God's word. The church is getting ready to leave here. And we're living in the last church age, and we're the Laodicean church age. And that church age is filled with blindness, nakedness, miserableness, wretched. It's miserable to play the hypocrite. To pretend that you something and you don't know nothing about the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't know nothing about the power and the love of God. You don't know nothing about forgiveness and mercy. You don't know nothing about the word of God because you don't even read your Bible. You're going around telling people you saved and you living like the devil yourself behind closed doors. Come on with it. Listen what God is saying in the book of Revelation at the 5th chapter. So this gospel is what? Every kind, every kindred, and every tongue, and every people, and every nation. Listen what it says. It says this, and they sung a new song, saying, and opened the cell thereof, and they were slain, every kindred, and every tongue, and people, and nation. And has made us, woo, listen to this. Listen, this is heavy. Made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Yes, Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back after the seven-year tribulation. And the saints of God will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And to become priests and kings. God is going to make us kings and priests. And we're going to serve him during the millennium reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth. But he can't come back until after the seven-year tribulation. And the church is getting ready to leave here. And when it leaves, if you find out that you are still left here after the rapture, and there is a rapture, don't believe these crackpots is going around talking about they ain't no rapture,
and there's a mid-rapture and there's a post-rapture. It's not real. It's not reality. It's not scripture. Jesus Christ is going to remove his body from the judgment that's coming upon this planet. He's going to remove all those. You hear what I said? He's going to remove all those that have been redeemed by what? His blood. His blood is righteous. His blood is devastated. His blood is able to do what? It's able to blot out your sins and sanctify your soul and make you whole. That when God looks at you after you receive his son Jesus Christ through his blood, he looks at you, and when he sees you, he don't see no sin at all in your spirit and in your soul. He sees his son in you, and there's no condemnation for those that walk in Jesus Christ, talk in Jesus Christ, speak for Jesus Christ, live for Jesus Christ, love Jesus Christ. He sees no sin at all. And when the trumpets blow, I guarantee you, if you know who Jesus Christ is through his shed blood and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead and say, Lord, fill me, make me, mold me, use me, that I can be a light to the dying, cursing world. The world has been cursed by sin. The devil has cursed people by sinning against a holy God. Holy God. And God is not going to change his attributes of holiness to bring himself down to your level. God brought himself down to man's level to do one thing. One thing that he did. He died. He suffered. He was crucified. He was hung up like a piece of hamburger. They whipped him and beat him beyond his recognition. They scarred him, talked about him, low-rated him, embarrassed him. And he let it be done because he knew there is no other name given among men where men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. So you can, the devil can come with all kinds of these old monkey clown religions and stuff. Ain't going to mean nothing to God, because it doesn't mean nothing to God. Because if you don't come through his son, you ain't coming. You've got to come through his son. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to repent. If you want to see Jesus, if you want to live with him forever, you're going to have to repent. If you want to see your grandma, your mama, your daddy, your sister again, if they were saved, you got to be born again. I can't go to heaven off of my dad's coattail. I can't go and hold on to my mama's or my brother's or my sister. I can't go down there and jump and shout and think I'm going to go to heaven. You got to come by the blood. No blood, no sacrifice, no blood, no salvation. Revelation says this, we'll become kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth with Jesus Christ during the millennium reign, because there is a millennium reign. Christ is going to rule the world. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. Before he can rule it with a rod of iron, the devil got to go. Satan got to be put in the bottomless pit. Satan and all his demons got to be locked up for 1,000 years. He will not be able to roam the earth like he has done in the last 6,000 years and made a hell hole out of it. And the only way he can make a hell hole out of it is because people reject, deny, refuse to receive the greatest salvation that man could ever receive. And that's why the devil is able to destroy mankind and rob, but because men refuse
to bow down before the grace of God and tremble before the cross and ask God for dying mercy. Save my soul from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Because all what the world has to offer you is damnation. All the gambling and all the whoremongering and all the adultery and all the homosexual and all the lesbianism and all the sodomites and all the wickedness that man is feasting and drinking upon and lying with and cohabitating with every lying demon that you can think of and then want to die and go to heaven. You are a lying one because no sin. Did you hear what I said? No sin will ever enter the presence of God no more. Satan can't come back into heaven no more. He can only to the front door of heaven gates. And he probably won't even get another glimpse at heaven. He cannot enter heaven no more. You hear what I said? Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the wicked one cannot enter the kingdom of God no more. If you follow him, if you worship him, if you honor him and do his bidding and reject the Son of God deliberately, willingly, and you said, I'm good enough to go to heaven. God ain't going to put me in hell. No, God is not going to put you there. You're going to put yourself in there. And the Bible said, good God Almighty, let me talk to you. The Bible said, hell has enlarged herself. Hell is growing every day. People fall in hell every day. Automobile accidents, gambling, shootings, rape, people dying, young and old, more young than old. Wow, crazy generation. Technology that took control of us. We're living in a supersonic jet age. IBM and CBM missiles, all kinds of outbreaks, earthquakes, pestilence and diseases. But there's a day coming when Satan will be bound and Christ will come back and the saints of God will rule the world through God's theocracy government. And we will become priests and kings and rule and reign with Jesus Christ on earth. 11th verse says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne. Number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This is the judgment seat of Christ here. This is what this is, the fifth chapter of Revelation. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's where I'm headed for. I'm on my way. Thank God Almighty, I'm on my way. I'm on my way, not what I done, not what I said. I know what I confess I said. I'm gone because what I believe and I trust in and I've been redeemed. I'm gone because the grace of God gave me the opportunity to come to him a long time ago. At the age of 9 years old, I received Jesus Christ in my life. And he's been with me all these years through seen and unseen dangers, through my adolescent years, through my elementary school, through my high school, come on through with me through service, brought me all the way, never left me, neither forsaken. And he said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world, my down and out, my disappointments, my trials and tribulations. He brought me, and he'll bring you if you let him. Thousands and thousands of angels will be at the judgment seat of us. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard, I send blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne
and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Good God Almighty, look her here. We're going to rule and reign with God forever. Last verse says, and the beast said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and ever. My friend, this is Revelation, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter. This is the chapter that describes what the judgment seat of Christ will look like. The fourth verse gives you the entrance of the rapture. I'm going to back up just that one verse and see what the rapture is mentioned in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Here's the rapture. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. This door represents the entrance into heaven, a portal. A portal will open up. Nobody will see this portal, but the saints of God. When the God blows the trumpet, as we get down here a little further, a portal in heaven is going to open, and we're going to enter in. And what it says, I look and behold a door. A door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, this is John talking, I heard was it were a trumpet talking with me. Talking with who? John heard the trumpet, which said, listen what the trumpet said. It said, come up hither. Meaning to be translated from earth to glory, from earth to glory, from earth to glory. I'm in the world, but not of the world. I live in a sin-sick world. I live in a devastating world. I live in a wicked world, but I'm not of the world. Why? Because the world was taken out of me. When Jesus Christ came into my life, the world was taken out. I don't love the world. I'm not in love with the world. What I'm in love with, I'm in love with the people of the world. I'm in love with the drunkard. I'm in love with the backbiter. I'm in love with the whoremonger. I'm in love with those people because I want to show them that there's a better way to live. There's a better way to serve God. And the only way that you can serve the true and living God, you got to know something about the cross, because the power in the cross, the power to change, the power of redemption, a power to change the inner man so he can come out to the outer man, because the Bible says, you know you done passed from death to life because you love the brother. Listen to what it says. Come up hither. The first verse says, come up hither and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Hereafter, after what? After the rapture of the church, John said, the angel said to John, I'm going to show you what's going to happen after the rapture on earth. I'm going to show you what's going to happen on earth after the body of Christ is excommunicated. All right? And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one, you hear what I said? And one sat upon the throne. Ain't no three gods. Ain't no three heads. One sat upon the throne. Who's that? God Almighty. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Woo! Jesus Christ is not sitting on God's lap. Jesus Christ is not sitting on the right-hand side or the left-hand side. He's sitting on the throne because God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He takes the book out of his own hand.
When he takes the book out of his own hand, he's the only one. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the only one worthy to open the book to reveal what's going to fall upon the earth in the next 7 years. Hell on earth. Satan takes over the earth for 7 years. Right now, Satan is the prince power of the air. He rules the air. He rules the radio, TV, internet, waves. He spread all kind of lying, gossip, and propaganda over the face of the earth. At the same time, God is making sure that the gospel will be preached through the new technology that we so-called have. But God really don't need that. But he's going to use that to prove to the people, amen, that the instrument that they have is going to be benefit for those after the rapture of the church, because that's the only way the gospel is going to be preached, because the church age, church meetings, church banquets, church anniversaries is going to be over. The only time we're going to have church is when we get around the throne of God. And when we're around the throne of God, it's going to be nothing but praises to God. There ain't going to be no backbiting. There ain't going to be no talking about each other. There ain't going to be no ism and tism. There ain't going to be nothing but the love of God. And we're going to be praising God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're getting something from this word right now, because I'm coming from the word. So you got to be getting something. Now listen what it says. One sitting up on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like was a rainbow. There was a rainbow, the rainbow of covenant that God made with man in the time of Noah. He told Noah and told that generation, I will never, never destroy the world by water again. The next time that I'm going to destroy the world, I'm going to use fire. I'm going to use fire, and I'm going to consume the works of man upon earth. I'm going to tear down every kingdom that comes up on earth. I'm going to replace it with the kingdom of God. I'm going to rule the world forevermore, and I'm going to start with the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. But first, I got to get rid of a critter. I got to get rid of old Lucifer. I got to get rid of old Beelzebub. I got to get rid of the red dragon. I got to get rid of all the wicked, low-down, dirty, conniving spirits that roam in the face of the earth now, trying to destroy humanity. But let me tell you, he may get majority of the world, but that's all right, because man has one choice. He can choose who he going to serve. You can choose the devil. Or you can choose Christ. And majority of the world today is choosing satanic powers and satanic ego tripping and satanic music and satanic whoremongering and lying and cheating and backbiting and adultery. He's cheating and telling the world this is the way to go. This is the way to live. Live like you want to live. You ain't going to hell. God ain't going to put you in hell. Right, God ain't going to put nobody in hell. You put yourself there. Amen. And many people go to hell. They're going to go for the number one main reason. 1 million out of one. There's no chance. There's zero chance. Out of a million, quadrillion, there's no chance for you to enter the kingdom of God without Christ. Motivation. Did I say that? Motivation speeches. Me asking you for money. Me asking you to send me money so I can buy me a jet plane, and I'm telling you God will bless you if you send the money. That's a lie. God blessing me, and I ain't sending you nothing. He's blessing me every day. Every day I get up out of my bed. I'm not looking for this world riches. I'm looking for the riches of Jesus Christ when I meet him face to face. When I meet him face to face, I want him to say to me, I don't know what you want the Lord to say to you if you say, I don't know what you want the Lord, but I want the Lord to say to me, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Behold, I'm going to make you a rewarder of many. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for prestige or fame or glory. I'm not looking for neon lights with my name written on it. I'm not looking for you to pat me on the back. I'm not looking for money, fame, or glory. I'm looking for Jesus, the Son of the Living God, to call me up after a while. Yeah, he knows where I live. He knows my down sitting and my uprising. He knows me better than I know myself. Listen to what it said. And he set up on and looked up on like a jasmine, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow. In the modern day society, the gays and the punks and the sissies and the he-she and the she-he's done took the rainbow and used it as an abominable branch. They have tried to disgrade and dishonor the rainbow. And God said, you messing with me. You messing with me. And you're messing with my holiness. You're trying to defame my holiness. But I'm going to shake myself one day. And when I shake myself, the heaven's going to know it. Hell's going to know it. Woo! The elements of the air going to know it. You don't mess with a holy thing and try to make it with a unholy. And the rainbow is a holy, sanctified covenant that God made with man. I'm not going to destroy the world by water no more. I'm going to do it by fire. And let me now know you. It's coming, my friends. The Bible says, fourth verse, and around about the throne were 24 seats. And up on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. What are these 24 elders? The 24 elders is the 12 tribe of Israel, and the 12 tribe, the apostles. They are elders. The 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ will be sitting on the throne at the judgment seat of Christ. We, as saints of God, will witness this. We will witness it when the rapture occurs and the portal of heaven is open and the church enter into the portal. And immediately we will be caught up in the spirit. In other words, we will have a spiritual body and we will have a spiritual soul. Nothing but the Spirit of God will enter into the kingdom of God. So before you can get to heaven, you must be born again. And then before you can go to heaven, your body must be changed into a spiritual body. Just like the body of Jesus Christ. When Christ was resurrected from the dead, he was resurrected in a spiritual body that looks just like a body of flesh, but it was a spiritual body. And he was able to walk through doors. He was able to eat fish. He had the nail prints in his hand because Thomas was a witness. When he had saw the nail prints in his hand and in his feet and in his side, he fell down on his knees and said, my Lord, my God, you are the risen Christ. You are the Son of God. You are God Almighty in the flesh. And Doubting Thomas was convinced that this was the resurrected Christ. Jesus said unto Doubting Thomas, you seen me, you felt me, you witnessed me. He said, but blessed are those that never seen me, never seen the nail prints, never seen the feet in my hands, my pierced side, never saw the thorns that were stuck in my head, never saw my backside and my front side, the marks and the bruises and the cuts that's all over my body. Those that have never seen it, blessed are you, because you believe by faith that I died and rose again. Bless you. Now, that's the kind of blessing I like. I like to see people come to Christ, knowing that what he did for you, he did it because he loves you so much. And he don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to be lost.
He don't want you to suffer for your own sin. He said, I'll be obliged. If it's my privilege to die for you. It's my honor to die for you. So you won't have to be eternally lost. And he's saying to you now, come to me. Come to me now. Because the rapture's right around the corner. I got proof from the word of God. I won't be able to find the scriptures for you right away, but I can tell you where to go. I can tell you right now, go to 2 Thessalonians. You'll find that Apostle Paul said there's a day coming when what? When there's a temple is going to be built. A temple is going to be built in Jerusalem. The third temple is going to be built in Jerusalem because the Jews still believe that they're living under Judaism. And what they're doing, they believe they're living under Judaism, and they believe that Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming, but not Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is coming. Listen to what I got to say. The Antichrist is coming. And if the Antichrist is coming, the Jews are preparing the temple for him to verify, to qualify, and to certify that he wants them to build the temple. And the Jews are going to accept the covenant that the Antichrist will give them. And he will say, go and build the temple. Build it. Use it for the sacrifices of animals, because I want you to know, I don't want you to know what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to deceive you. He ain't going to tell you that, but he's getting ready to try to deceive the Jewish nation. Because the Jews believe that Jesus Christ is coming in Jerusalem. And when he comes, he's not going to be born in a manger. He's going to be a full-grown man. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be a man that Satan has chosen to represent Jesus Christ when he's the Antichrist. And this man that's coming do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But yet still he's going to come and try to deceive the Jewish people by what? Okaying the rebuilding of the temple. You ought to listen. Because the Jews are getting ready. The Jews is what? The Jews is about 70 years ahead of the church. Because the church do not believe that God is used the Jews in the last 7 years of the tribulation period. The Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ is going to use the Jews in the last 7 years. He has to use the Jews because he promised the Jews. Listen to what I'm saying. He promised the Jews that I'm going to deal with the Jewish nation for 490 years. I'm going to restore kingdom and the nation of Israel, and I'm going to do it in 490 years. The 490 years, God is going to restore the Jews within 490 years. So actually God owed the Jews 7 more years because the Jews were cut off at the cross. Listen to what I'm saying. He was cut off at the cross at 483 years. The 483 years were fulfilled when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, put in the grave on the third day, got up out the grave. The Jews were cut off short of 7 years. And it was through the Jews that the church was brought into an existence. On the day of Pentecost, 120 Jews preached the gospel. And after they preached the gospel, they still reject Jesus Christ, and the Lord cut them off short of 7 years. And the church came into power.
the church, the body of Christ, consisted of mostly Gentiles. And the church has been here for what? 2,000 years. Good God Almighty. 2,000 years, the last church age, Laodicea. The church that Jesus Christ said, I'll spit you out of my mouth because you plan a hypocrite. And when the rapture of the church comes, God is only going to take those that know him and the pardon of their sin and leave the church of Laodicea here. And when Laodicea is left here, they're going to fall right into the hands of the great whore that's found in the 17th chapter of Revelation, the false church that's consisted of demonic demons and devils, unregenerated people who are lost and did not receive Christ during the church age period. Woo! Can you get a hold of this? Can you get a grip of this? And what I'm saying, temple is in preparations now in Jerusalem. They are starting to rebuild the temple as soon as possible. They're working on it. And it won't take them long to rebuild the temple because they're preparing for it right now. They got the priests ready. They got the vessels ready. They got the two heifers getting ready. They got the Ark of the Covenant. They got the menorah. They got everything set in order to put inside the temple, preparing to build a temple. And the Antichrist cannot come until the catching away of the church of the living God. When the Antichrist comes after the rapture of the church, they tell me that Jews are going to welcome this man of sin. And he's going to tell them that he is Jesus Christ. He's going to tell them, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And I'm going to make a covenant with you for 7 years. And I'm going to give you the permission to rebuild the temple. I'm going to give you permission to offer sacrifices of animals again. I'm going to give you permission to do everything that you believe that you are still under Judaism. And the Jews are going to say, yes! This is what we want. And Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, promised the Jews that I know what y'all getting ready to do. Y'all getting ready to accept this Antichrist because he's going to come in his own name. You won't receive me because I come in my Father's name. So because you won't receive me, you're going to go for the ones that's coming in his own name, and you better watch out because he's out to deceive you. Do you realize how close we are? Do you realize how close we are? Because we're so close that we ain't got time enough to play no hallygagging, no misconstrued scriptures, and mess up what you are supposed to be looking for. If you're looking for Jesus Christ to come, you better get saved. You better accept Jesus Christ as a personal savior right now as you listen to me preach to you, because I'm not going to preach no motivation speeches, though. I'm not going to show my house or nothing to you. I'm not going to give you no escort through my house. I'm going to go in my garage and show you how many cars I got, none, because I ain't got nothing, amen, but a 2004 Impala, and I got a 2004 Blazer. I ain't got nothing to show off, but I can show you one way. I can show you the way to get to heaven. I can show you that. And the way to go is what John the Baptist said, repent. For I'm not the one, but the one comes after me that's preferred before me. I'm going to baptize you with the water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he can shut it up in your bones that you can't hold your peace. And if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, why are you holding your peace? You should be shouting at the top of your voice. He can save to the utmost. He can save the drunkard. He can save the liar. He can save the backbiter. He can save the whoremonger. He can save the lesbianism. He can save the adulterous wife or the adulterous husband. He can save you. from sin, death, hell, and the grave. You need Jesus Christ this evening. You need him now. Don't wait too late. The Antichrist is alive. He's coming from Spain. Spain is the 11th horn spoken by Daniel the prophet. He was born in 1968. He is the king of Spain right now. His name is King Felipe. He stands at 6 foot six, six letters in his name. I got some qualifications for him. Amen. Let me see, man. Lord, let me see. Woo, his qualification is awesome. Number one, the Bible said he would be a prince. He has fulfilled that mission. Then he said he would be a king. He's fulfilling that mission. He said he will be a four-star general. He's fulfilled that. He knows 10 languages. He belongs. Listen to what I'm saying. This man belongs to the Illuminatis. He belongs to the Illuminatis. He belongs to at least 12 different secret societies. He belongs to the Freemasonry. He belongs to the Octopus Deus. He belongs to the Club of Rome. He's a Knight Templar. He knows about the Skull and Bone. He knows about the Council of Foreign Relations. He knows about the Bilderberg, the European Union. He knows about Satanism. He knows about Luciferian. All about secret societies. And he is in flux with that kind of living because he's a man of sin. He does not discard sin. He does not repent from sin. He is for everything you do what you want to do. The only thing this man is going to require for you to do is when he get in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to become the dragon. He's become the beast. Because what's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation is that in the 12th chapter of Revelation, good God Almighty, Lord, have mercy. There's going to be a war in heaven, the 12th chapter of Revelation, in the middle part of the tribulation period. The devil, Lucifer, will be cast out of first and second heaven and come to earth. He's coming to earth, coming in UFOs. He's coming in flying saucers. He's coming in demons and devils. He's coming from the bottomless pit and from the prince power of the air because the devil wants the earth. God said, okay, Satan, you don't have it for 6,000 years. I'm going to let you run it for the last 7 years. But after you get through running, I'm going to save some out of the tribulation. Good God, God is going to save some after the after the rapture of the church. He's going to save some. How in the world is he going to save some during the tribulation period? The church will not be here. The ministry of the church is almost done. Ain't no more that the church can do. Ain't no more that I can do is preach the end time message. Get ready because he's coming. And the end time message is going to be preached by the Jewish people. And that's proven in the 7th chapter of Revelation and in the 11th chapter of Revelation. The 7th chapter of Revelation says God is going to number 144,000 Jews to preach the gospel of the kingdom in the first part of the tribulation period. You hear what I said? God is not going to use no Jehovah's Witness. He's not going to use no Baptist, no Presbyterian, no religion, no denomination, no occult. He's going to use 144,000 of chosen men that he already have ordained to preach for the first 3.5 years after the rapture of the church, because the church is not going to come in conflict with the 144,000. We will be in heaven being judged for our works. 144,000 will be preaching from the beginning of the tribulation period until the middle of the tribulation period. How many? 12,000 from each tribe. Can I get a witness? I got a witness here. I got a witness. This is the witness saying, hurt not the earth. 7th chapter of Revelation. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. God is going to seal 144,000. And I hear the number of them which was sealed. And there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribe of Israel. So Israel, the Jewish people, will conclude of using the last 7 years and add on to 483 years. We'll reach 490 years, exactly the many of years that God said, I'm going to deal with the Jews. And so the Jews will line up and they will call a roll call. And the roll call says, out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. And these 144,000 will preach the gospel for 1,260 days and 1,260 days and 1,260 days. And then they're going to preach a last 6 months. That's 3.5 years. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. Yeah, good God Almighty. Yes, they're going to preach. They're going to preach 24/7. They're going to preach in January. They're going to preach in February, March, April, May, and June, July, August, September, October, November, December, for 3.5 years. And when they get through preaching, the world, good God Almighty, I say the world is going to say, what is this? What is this? I see the Jews are preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And out of that preaching for 3.5 years, 3.5 years to get through preaching. This is the conclusion of the 3.5 years. What happens? And after the 3.5 years, after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, yeah, all kindred, yeah, and people, yeah, and tongues, yeah, stood before the throne of the Lamb, and before the Lamb clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God sitteth upon the throne and into the Lamb. And all the angels stood around and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down unto the throne on their faces and worship God, and saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and the power and might to our God forever and ever. These are called the tribulation saints. The church won't have nothing to do with this. The body of Christ will be watching this. And John at the end said, where did these come from and who are they? And the angel said, these are they. These are they that came out of great trial and tribulation saints. These are the tribulation saints that accepted Jesus Christ after the rapture. I'll say that again. These are the tribulation saints that accepted Jesus Christ after the rapture by the preaching of the 144,000 Jews. After they get through with that, the Jewish nation, 144,000, will be redeemed from the earth. And the last 3.5 years, let me tell you this as I close, it will be hell on top of hell, on top of hell in the earth. This is when the Antichrist becomes the beast. And he will so beastly that he will disregard your nationality, your color, your skin. He don't care who you are. What he wants is for you to worship him. And if you receive the mark of the beast on your forehead or in your hand and sell your soul to the devil and receive the mark, that means your soul is damned forever because you refuse to accept the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you refuse to receive Christ by repenting of your sins and turning from your wicked ways. And so now, if you don't receive the mark, you will not be able to buy nor sell. You will not be able to buy or sell. So if you ain't going to be able to buy or sell, that means you will perish by starvation. So the world is going to hand themselves over to the mark of the beast. And they already got it. And they're going to use it within the next 3.5 years. Because something's going to hit this planet like never before. And that is the rapture. And then World War III will begin. My friends, you need Christ tonight. Do you need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ? The only thing I got for you is that he loves you. He loves you so much that he don't want to see you perish. He loves you so much that he don't want to see you go through the tribulation period. And even during the tribulation period, he will still love those that missed the rapture because there's going to be such a great number that no man can number, as many as the sands of the sea that's going to be redeemed all over the world, all 25,000 miles circumference of the earth. Every continent is going to witness salvation. You hear what I said? Every continent, state, hamlet, is going to witness the salvation of the Jewish people. Thank God for the Jew. Come to Jesus right now. Repent of your sins. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let him know that you want him tonight. Don't go to bed tonight without him. You can say it right where you're at now. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I'm willing to repent and be broken up for my sins that I have sinned against the Holy God and believe on your Son, Jesus Christ, that he will come into my life right now. Right now. Come in, Lord Jesus. Save me. Save me now that I can escape the wrath to come. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. This is Brother Bizarre watching on the wall. Love you all out there. Continue to listen. Grab your friends wherever they are. Tell them, say, man, listen to this preacher. This preacher coming out the word of God. I'm not telling you, I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not giving you no whammy. I'm not going to knock you down or put my hands on you and wave my coat and jump all over the place. I'm telling you right now, you need to come to the foot of the cross and ask God for mercy that he will save your soul. Last and all, if you die, die saved. If you die without Christ, hell will be your home. Don't go. Lord, be merciful to the souls that's listening to me tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this broadcast. And we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. See you next time. See you Saturday or either Sunday morning.